Do you have a place you guys want to start?
There's so much going on. I mean, you're talking about Ukraine all day, every day now, and I don't know where to start. It's just so sad. And I will say this. When you watch mainstream media, including Fox, all of them, when are we going to, as a people, going to stop? I mean, they lied to us about Iran. They lied to us about Afghanistan. They lied to us about Libya. They lied to us about everything. All of a sudden, they're going to tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I don't think so. And the colonel, you know, he talked about the history of the Ukraine-Russian conflicts, which it goes back, you know, forever, since people. But then he went back just a year. I think you have to go back to 2014 to even get a flavor for what's going on and understand that, you know, we don't dance with angels in this. We caused a lot of these problems and a lot of the issues. And now are we responsible? Partially, but, you know, another good argument to kind of stay out of things that we can't control. It's just this colonialism is... And it's hard for me to say that, seeing these photos and these video, but it's so predictable how they're going to lay it out for the consumption, right? So we go back, they identify a problem, which we all have been talking about for years. Mm-hmm. They identify it. Then, rather than come up with a solution, the next step is inevitability of the conflict, rather than a solution, right? Rather than arming them, rather than talking to them, rather than having a summit, it's inevitability. This is going to happen, and this is what we're going to have to do. So that's the buildup to the conflict. Then it happens, and now... like clockwork, we're going to start rolling out A and B video of more horrible, horrible things. I can't think. Remember the movie Wag the Dog?
Sure.
Okay. Where they went out and cast this little child to run across this bridge that was getting blown
up
in Yugoslavia.
No, I know. But you can't say that that's what's going on.
I mean,
that's obviously not what's going on.
But they're exploiting what's going on to sway American public.
To what, though?
To cover up for... all of our wrongdoings there. I mean, last night we were talking about the bio
weapon. Yeah.
I don't want to say weapons, but biological research.
Agents, chemicals, whatever.
Yeah. So after just what happened in which we talked about for a long time, Wuhan, now we're going to find out we have 2, 3, 20, 30 different sites in the Ukraine that during this whole Hillary Clinton going in there and building up the technology over there, maybe we were outsourcing additional research there. I mean, there's so much that's going on that we don't know about.
But we don't. Well, that's the point. We don't know that, right? So the formal word is that we've gone over to help secure some of these because some of these were originally Russian operated. And so we've secured and shut down a couple and basically cleaned them up. But there are more that have to be done. So that's the Pentagon's formal response. I mean, to your point, I don't think we're ever going to know one way or the other exactly what the story is there, because we obviously fund some of these places around the world, and it's obviously a danger. But that doesn't change the reality of the people in Ukraine today. And I think Americans are all over the place. And frankly, I think, you know, the more you talk to people, people want to take action. They want to do something. They say, why don't we do the no-fly zone? Well, we know all the answers to that. We know that that escalates things and whatever. So, you know, I would hope that somebody was doing something beforehand. And it sounds like we were. It sounds like, according to the Biden administration, they had a deal with Germany that if this happens, you agree no more Russian oil, although we're buying Russian oil. So, but then, you know, the answer to that is, well, it's a tiny fraction of what we get. But that doesn't change the reality of, and the only way to change anything, I guess, is economically right now. But that's a long play. That's not anything that's going to help any of those people today. And I mean, it's heartbreaking to watch. And my takeaway from it is the resolve of the people of Ukraine and how weak we are as Americans, that would we have that resolve if it came to it? You know, and I don't know. I mean, I'm having a hard time rationalizing when you hear people whining about whatever our minuscule American problems are, you woke up today in the United States and you have every right and freedom to be and do what you want to do. So shut up. We've become a nation of codependence where we all just want to whine about our victimization, and it's becoming more and more disgusting. So my hope is that as time goes on, that's other people's takeaway.
If somebody, the next person who says something about a preferred pronoun, I'm going to punch him square in the face, and we'll just see. We'll let the chips fly.
Yes, you made a point about would we fight.
I got carried away. No, I just am so mad.
No, you should be mad. No, but there was a Quinnipiac had a poll out. I don't know if you guys saw it.
No, I heard you yesterday talking about
that. Yeah, they said break down whether or not people would actually stand and fight. So I asked a bunch of people here in the building and got a very tepid response from the younger kids. Like, I'll just go to Canada. I'll just do this. But can you imagine that? I mean, some of them wouldn't fight. Like, they would flee because they don't get it. Like, they don't understand how lucky that we are. And listen, again, one of my biggest regrets, and maybe there was a lot of reasons behind it, that I don't get a chance to share that bond that military folks have.
I agree.
I really feel bad about that.
I do,
I almost to the point where I wish that we had some kind of an automatic, you got to go in for a couple years just to sort of toughen you up and get you to be a little bit more patriotic. So that's a regret of mine. But I just can't believe that there's maybe a generation or a group of folks out there who would go, well, if the Chinese were coming, I would go to Canada. I'd go to
that's insane.
That's crazy. But I mean, that's my point. We don't have the resolve. And, you know, it's funny. My wish is that it's similar. And I did try to go into the JAG Corps, but I was 36.
And
the cutoff is 35.
Really?
And so I was too old, and I thought that was so stupid, and I still think it is. Why couldn't I join some branch of reserves today?
That's a good idea.
I'm able-bodied. Yeah. I'm smart. I'm sure I could be used somewhere.
Well, if this happened here, if that happened here, you would be given a gun. Mm. If you wanted the opportunity, you'd be given the chance.
It's never going to happen here because we already have guns.
I know. We have a billion of them.
And that's what Hitler said, and that's what everybody would say. However, you brought up something I thought the most interesting point yesterday. I am not trying to justify what's happening because there is no justification. It's the worst, and if we could eliminate anybody who's for what's happening, I would do it in a second. I'd pull the plug. But if Russia took over Mexico and started lining the border with weapons, what would we do? We would go in and take out Mexico, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is true. Yeah, it is true. It's, you know, I watched a video the other day where people in Russia were questioned about what they thought, and it was just amazing the power of propaganda and how many people, and maybe it was out of fear not to talk to a reporter, but, you know, they were all, I support Putin, we're not doing anything, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's really scary because it shows you the power of the media.
Well, in one generation, since Putin has taken control, the public opinion in support of Stalin as a positive effect on Russia went from like 14%. I'm making these numbers up, but it was like to 70%.
I saw that. I get the same. I get these emails. I can't believe I get them. They're justifying all of the things. I understand why it's happening. Justify is the wrong word.
Yeah.
They're almost defending what's happening. Like, I understand why you don't want missiles literally on your border, like we wouldn't want them in Mexico.
Right.
I get it. And I know the buffer zones are good, but to bomb hospitals.
An orphanage in a hospital.
Exactly. Let me ask you guys this. How much of that are we going to... We all knew this was coming. Like you had just said, there's a progression of this. If you have any level of intelligence, you knew somewhere along the line you're going to begin to see women and children running for their lives, dying, carried around.
It's a script.
Of course. Yeah. Exactly. So when at what point do we not take this anymore?
Well, that's the question. Yeah. And that's a really interesting question because this is the first time in history, and I talked to you about this hopefully you don't come up with an idea to shoot me down, but it's the first time in history where a few things have happened in support of a sanction. One, we have not every company involved in it, but most of the U.S. companies. And we have Switzerland, who's never taken a position. And not only have they taken a position, they're giving up oligarchs' bank accounts. Mm. Now, the only thing they do is make chocolate and launder money, right? So now they're going to have to make a lot more chocolate because they can't be trusted with dirty money. The second part of that is, going back to World War II, how many U.S. companies, including Ford and Prescott Bush's bank, all of them that were working with the Nazis, but under the guise of their European operation or whatever it might be. That's not happening here. So you have, we have now, I've always say this, capitalism ate democracy a long time ago, but now we it's morphed into one thing, and everybody's working together to support this. This is like the rallying point. So why? Why is that happening? Possibly so that the Great Reset, which we've talked about, can somebody at some point is going to say, look what we did without firing one weapon. Look what we did, what we can work together. Now, the next step is towards more globalization. Mm. That's my fear. And Glenn Beck was talking about this, and he said it's hard to make that argument because you have Putin and China fighting against that, and you don't want to be on the side of them. But the good part of all of that is what's happening there. We're all getting together against the bad guys. Mm. The bad part of it is we're giving up any sense of nationalism or autonomy or personal responsibility because we are now one. And that kind of stinks. So I'm just throwing it out there. I don't have any great idea about it, but it feels like that's what's happening.
Well, I mean, I think that's definitely possible. But that part of it, I mean, that the good news is we are all together against the bad guys.
Yeah.
And then that can potentially also be the bad news down the road. And it probably may be used that way. But what's the alternative? Is the alternative, you know, a third world war?
A hit squad.
Nuclear. Well, yeah, I don't know why that hasn't happened, but I mean,
I don't need to know how it happened, right?
Yeah, but why not?
No, I don't need to know how it happened. It just should have happened already.
Right, wow. Right.